The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. This evening, I'd like to focus on the Haggadah and the Seder experience as a means of connecting and conveying significant, pertinent, relevant messages to our children. The idea will be just some overview of some ideas which might be helpful in dealing with the different issues of the Haggadah and the Seder, and a more in-depth presentation on this topic, on the subjects and the points covered here, will be available on our website, hopefully by tomorrow. Also, I was asked to announce that the 10 ways to help your children have a more meaningful Pesach Seder can be downloaded, can be ordered or downloaded from the website. Also, there's one for the shuls or schools that could be posted, which you can also get all this information on the website, or call 833 forever to order these cards to get them for your shul or your school. And the first part of this discussion is on the Media Center. You can download from the Media Center Part 1, also on the website. We begin the Haggadah. We sit down with our families, parents, children, and more often than not, even grandparents. And we begin to partake in a ritual which this year will be repeating itself for the 3,321st time. That was the year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, have been engaging in this ritual, matzah, and Haggadah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, for thousands of years, 3,320 years, and going strong. It has been done, and is being done all over the world, wherever there are Jews, the same time, the same date, and has been so throughout the millennia. If we share with our children this reality, plus the reminiscence of our own youth, hearing it from our parents and our grandparents, connecting the links of the Masorah with the previous generation, and realizing the continuity of the testimony to the eyewitness events that took place, it has a very strong impact. It should be based, grounded in the fact that we're not observing for 3,320 years a tradition that was started by some individual with a claim to miracles and miraculous deliverance, but rather by an entire nation of millions of nefoshos, eyewitnesses to all of the miracles of Mitzrayim and the Yam Suf, eyewitnesses to the participants in the Maimon Har Sinai themselves, and then passing this on to their children, not as historical hearsay, but as eyewitness testimony that we ourselves have witnessed these events. It has a tremendous power. Knowing that these events are also to be found in non-Jewish history, there's a famous papyrus that was discovered many years ago, Ipur, I-P-U-E-R, I think it's spelt, where the amazing correlation between the bemoaning of the tragic events that were taking place in Egypt is written in the Egyptian hieroglyphics, and the Torah account of the Makkos, the correlation between them furthers the reality that this was not only witnessed by millions of Jewish eyewitnesses, but by the Egyptian, our Egyptian neighbors as well. And of course, had it not been a reality that was witnessed by so many people, then certainly it doesn't make any sense that it would have had such an impact to be able to maintain for 3,320 years. And this is something that we should share with our children. We testify today with a feeling and a conviction and a sense of connection with the past and an unbroken chain of transmission that we actually are capable of looking at ourselves, kilu hu yotze mimitzrayim, as if it happened to us. It's reality. It isn't folk tales. It's a reality that has been passed down from generation to generation. And the Seder is the experiencing and reliving the events through real life props reminiscent of the events that took place in Mitzrayim, and that actually explains how this testimony has been able to survive. Not only is it a written testimony and an oral testimony, but it's a lifestyle and activities and actions which bespeak in clear detail the issues at hand and the history which took place. Of course, the Haggadah begins with the involvement of our children after we make Kiddush, the Manishtano, the awakening of their curiosity by the various things that are done, removal of the Kara and so forth, and the Manishtano, which places them as active participants and almost like captive audiences to want to hear what is it all about. And then we answer their questions by telling them what it's all about. Well, what it's all about is the first paragraph, the synopsis, the summary of what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of what the Torah really wants us to tell our children, and that we all know the famous words, Avodim Hayinu LeFaro B'Mitzrayim, we were slaves to Paro B'Mitzrayim. V'yotzieinu Hashem Elokeinu Mishom B'yod Chazok U'Vizroa Netui, Hashem took us out with this strong hand and an outstretched arm. V'ilu lo hitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aseinu Mimitzrayim, and had he not done so, Harayonu v'neinu v'nei v'neinu m'shubodim ha'iru l'farab Mitzrayim, we, our children, our grandchildren, would all still be obligated in some way, shibud, beholden to Parav Mitzrayim. And even if we were all chachomim, nevoinim, and yodim esatir, it's a mitzvah for everyone to be misaper, to tell Yitzias Mitzrayim. And here, the pshat that some learn is that m'shubodim ha'iru means it could be that we wouldn't be serving as slaves anymore. But since we were owned legally by the Mitzrim as their Avodim, then had Hashem not taken us out, we would still today be Meshubed, be owned by someone, some entity, or the descendants of the original Mitzrim. But the question begs an answer. Why don't you tell us, a young man just asked me this question today, the Haggadah should have started. Hashem hoitzio yisonu mimitzrayim vayotzieinu Hashem mimitzrayim yod chazok azorotu avodim hoyinu lefarav mitzrayim. Why is that so critical? And not only that, and if it would, not only were we avodim, but had he not taken us out, we would still remain mishubud. And I think the answer really is simple yet quite profound, and something that I believe certainly our older children can relate to. That is that despite the benefits and the privileges of having taken us out of Mitzrayim, despite the fact that he took us to Har Sinai to give us the Torah, despite the fact that we are in contact with the purpose of creation and live a life emulating the Creator, a life of uplifting development and perfection, a life of true happiness and validity, feeling good about ourselves, the shibud of Mitzrayim is something that is very, very powerful. The fact that the shibud of mitzvahs, the fact that we are obligated to observe, we are obligated to perform, that we have responsibilities, that we have burdens, these burdens hurt. Burden is overwhelming. Pressure hurts. The sense of responsibility and beholdenness creates a tremendous pressure on us. And the knowledge that we were avodim. Don't think if you didn't have this pressure that you wouldn't have had other pressures. And you still have some of that pressure today. It seems that we need that in order to be mekabel l'malchus shumayim, in order to accept the responsibilities that we have, because responsibilities are difficult. And I think our youth have to understand that despite the fact, and they do have to understand that these responsibilities are certainly great privileges, but besides the fact that they are privileges, they must realize that we were slaves before, we had responsibilities before. The alternative is not freedom from any responsibility or the responsibilities of Torah, but it's responsibility or responsibility. Certainly to be responsible to the Creator, certainly to be responsible to one whose whole purpose in making us responsible is to benefit us, is something that we should truly appreciate. But we need to know that there was responsibility even without it. Otherwise, the pain of responsibility is overwhelming. And admitting to our children and letting them know, yes, the Balagoda had to tell us this because he knew, we know, Chazal knew, they understood, the Torah understands that responsibility is difficult, but we have to look at the benefits of it, and we have to realize that responsibility would be there anyway. And sometimes maybe that's the only reason that we're able to deal with responsibility, because we would have that shibud anyway. But then we have to have that sense of freedom. The Balagoda continues and talks about, many different things, but Baruch Shemer Havtachoso LeYisrael SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz. It's important to point out to our children that, you know, the question could be asked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise, so like what's the big deal? Of course he has to keep his promise. And of course the Pshat is Chishev Es HaKeitz, that he shortened the Golus because it was too painful, it was too difficult, it was too overwhelming, and had we stayed for the full 400-year term that we were supposed to stay, it might have been so devastating that we wouldn't have made it. We got involved with the Egyptian society and with their Avodah Zorah and so forth, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to use this calculation of making it shorter and 210 years until we exited in order to be able to keep his promise, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committed to the survival of Klal Yisrael and sometimes has to orchestrate some of the most difficult experiences in order to guarantee that that survival which he has promised us will continue under all circumstances. And we continue, of course, with the Vehi Sha'omda, that this promise that Klal Yisrael will survive has stood us well throughout the generations, because in every generation there always have been individuals who stood up against us, and we can reiterate through our history, we know the history of how all of our oppressors and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always saved us. And the Vilna Goyin points out that Seol Amad from Lavan, we didn't even know that Lavan was out to destroy Yaakov Avinu. We didn't think that he had such an agenda. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us even from the agendas of enemies that are unbeknownst to us. He's constantly involved. The commitment to the survival of Klal Yisrael is paramount, and many times we are saved even from dangers that we're totally unaware even exist. Truth of the matter is, it's probably worthwhile to mention that Rabbi Yaakov Emden swears by his life and says in Hakdomah to his Siddur that the miracles that have surrounded the survival of Klal Yisrael in the last 2,000 years of Golos and the survival of Torah to Klal Yisrael are even greater than the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Kriyas Yamsuf. Something that's really mind-boggling to think about, because when we think about everything our people have been through, it doesn't make any sense. We've been the brunt of everyone's attack and opposition throughout the millennia, and yet our oppressors at best survive in museums and history books, and here we are, you know, telling the story once again for the 3,321st time. This is really the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Haftocho that Klal Yisrael will survive, and he will assure that survival. In fact, it might be worthwhile to mention, and that really has to do with the previous paragraph, Mitchila Ovdi Avodah Zorah Hoyu Avoseinu, or initially we started from Terach. Avram Avinu's father was one of the Ovdi Avodah Zorah, was an idolater, as the rest of the people in his times. And there's a beautiful Tosfos Sarid who asks a question over here. He says, you know, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim, for keeping his promise, protecting us. If he hadn't put us in there in the first place, he wouldn't have to take us out. So what are we all excited about thanking him? And the Tosfos Sarid explains, he says that the truth of the matter is that since we descended from idolaters, there was no way that Klal Yisrael ever could have been zeicha to Maimon Har Sinai. To be zeicha to the gift of Torah was an impossibility. It could only take place, it couldn't take place bedin. We could never be zeicha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to put us in Mitzrayim. and he made us suffer. And through the suffering, he had Rachmanis on us. He looked and he says, look what these people have been through. Maybe he said, look what I made them suffer. And with Rachamim, we were able to achieve Maimon Har Sinai and the gift of Torah, the most precious of all gifts, which is something that we never could have earned in Din. And therefore, all of the difficulties were necessary for us to achieve such heights. And who knows if a lot of the difficulty we go through today in Golos is not part of that same system, that we're to be privileged with a survival, we're to be privileged with a gift of Torah, we're privileged still to be a light unto the nations, and maybe at times we lack the deserving of that privilege, and therefore through the difficulty that we have in life, whether it's personal or communal, Hashem has rachmonis and says, now I can grant you the benefits and the blessings and the rewards that otherwise you never could have been privileged to receive. Just one more thought, the Gemara says that when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah restore the words Godel Gibor VeNoiro, so the Gemara explains, the Gemara in Yuma explains that Noiro, Aye Noiro Isa, where is the awesomeness, the fear of Hashem? It says the greatest awesome expression or expression of Hashem's awesomeness is the fact that we survive in a Golus where every enemy feels free to attack us and do whatever they please. And in a sense, they granted that permission, and yet, the dichotomy between the freedom with which the world feels that they can attack Klal Yisrael and the survival of Klal Yisrael in the Torah against all odds is truly the source of Hashem's awesomeness. And one beautiful moshul that may describe it is this thing that we say in the Kori Beinolam, Proik Yas Onoch Mipu Marivoso, redeem the little lamb from the lion's mouth, a lamb sitting in a lion's mouth for 2,000 years, that's Klal Yisrael. The lion attempts everything possible to devastate and destroy us. He can scratch us, he hurts us, he does little things, but the Klal Yisrael remains in that lion's mouth for 2,000 years. V'ishe omdo la v'seinu v'lono. The Haggadah goes in to the events of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, V'yoreu sono ha-mitzrayim, the extent to which they caused us pain, and then the tefillah that we turned to Hashem, and Hashem heard our tefillahs and did such chesed with us by taking us out of Mitzrayim. And this is something, too, which we have to point out to our children, that the power of tefillah, that what happens is when Klal Yisrael suffers difficulty, when life gets very difficult, and the Haggadah explains, the Baal Haggadah explains some of the details of the shibud and how painful and treacherous it was, and then we cry out to Hashem, and Hashem responds to our tefillah. Hashem does respond to tefillah, and he hears our tefillah, and he sees Vayaris onyeinu, Vesamoleinu, Veslachatzeinu, pays attention to our suffering, and as a result of that tefillah, brings about a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, which is something that's a lesson that we have to realize today. We cannot assume, we cannot allow ourselves to think that tefillah goes unheard. The Gemara tells us, tefillah isa machtzo. Tefillah always accomplishes something. Sometimes it may not be the right time. Sometimes the answer is not now. Sometimes things have to happen a little bit differently than we would have anticipated. But there is a koyach of tefillah that's real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shemea tefillah. In fact, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Shema Koleinu V'Kabel Barachamim. Listen and accept. Ki Kel Shemea, because you're the one who listens. If I'm the one who listens, so why don't you say I'm the one who accepts? I believe the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he listens, he hears our tefillah, he accepts it. Because he cares, because he loves, because he's there for us. And that's, of course, a lesson that we learned from the experiences in Mitzrayim. Very important, the Ramban tells us that from the Nisim Geluyim that took place in Mitzrayim and on the Yam Suf, we learn to recognize Nisim Nistorim, from the public miracles, open miracles, we learn to recognize hidden miracles, the Hashgocha Protus, that exist in everyone's life, and that is the Yisod, that's a foundation, a fundamental principle of Torah. We have to share with our children as much as possible from Midrashim, from Chazal, what we can pick, and we have to prepare for it, to share with them the insights to the most amazing testimonials to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator of the world, and the realization that that these things were witnessed by so many people, and through that eyewitness testimony to the miraculous upheaval of the laws of nature, Dom, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Oroiv, Arbe, Choshech, that these things give us the insights to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha in everything in life. And in the smallest things of life, in the smallest details, we often can discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives, despite the fact that that we don't see them in the most open and blatant ways as they were in our history. It's important to develop appreciation at the Seder. The Dalet Koseis, Vitzesi, Vitzalti, Vigualti, Vilakachti, each one is to underscore a different aspect of the Geula. A separate Hallel, a separate praise, a separate Kois Shel Brocha on each individual aspect. The cessation of the work, the leaving the Mitzrayim, the going through the Yamsuf and the coming to the Maimon Har Sinai, each one is a separate appreciation. We must have a separate Kois Shel Brocha to take them all separately. If you couple it all together, he took us out of Mitzrayim. It's too vague. We can't relate to it. Break down the chasodim into their component parts and allow our children to see each one and to appreciate one. And that's really what we do with the Dayenu, that everyone would have, if he would have taken us out of Mitzrayim but didn't punish them, Dayenu. If he would have done this, not that, Dayenu. It doesn't mean that one without the other would have sufficed us, but each one was Dayenu lehuidois, and that's what the Baal Hagodah is mashma. After the whole Dayenu, he says, Alachas kamo vekamo teva chfulim chupeles amokum aleinu. How much more do we have to thank Hashem when he's done all of these things, not only one of them, which each one in of itself would have been kedai to say hallel and to thank him for. I think that the mitzvahs hayoyim, Pesach, Korban Pesach, when we brought the Korban Pesach matzah that we eat to remember the speed of the Geula, Pesach, the Makas Bechiris, Asher Posach, that he passed over our houses, a korban that we ate for so many years, and we continue to remember with a name that clearly describes and has been passed over from generation to generation, passed on from generation to generation, clearly telling us that this event of Makas Bechiris, of Asher Posach al Botei Bnei Yisrael, that passing over the houses, that was a historic event that took place, and we not only retell it, and we not only talk about it, but we relive it through the eating of the Korban Pesach, or today through at least remembering or pointing out something that represents the Korban Pesach, because this is a reality of our past. Matzah, remembering the speed of the Geula, they didn't have time to allow their matzahs, their bread to bake, they had to take it out as it was happening, and it didn't get a chance to rise, it baked it in the sun, whatever, and this reminds us of the speed of the Geula, of the Geula. And the Geula wasn't just the Geula, that redemption, but when that moment of redemption came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow us to wait a split second. We had to leave immediately, and that was for our safety, that was for our security, that was for our future, and that was also an indication of how much love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, that even though he allowed us to be there, he had to allow us to be there for 210 years, when the moment that he was able to differentiate and say, now it's time to go, now you're ready to go, now it's permissible to go, at that moment it happened as swiftly as possible, because we shouldn't suffer another moment of pain, and certainly we shouldn't be in danger any longer of losing our spiritual status. An interesting Rashi, which I think might be helpful in general when we talk about mitzvahs with our children, Rashi says, it's a Rashi in Shir HaShirim, says, Doidi liv ani loy horoy v'shushanim. My beloved is to me, and I am to him, who the one who shepherds with roses, with kindness. And Rashi says, Who called Srochov loy tova elami meni? HaKadosh Baruch Hu only asks of his needs from us. He only asked me to bring a Korban Pesach, not anybody else. He only asked me to bring Korban Tomit, Korban Oilo, not anybody else. And I, in return, I only ask my needs, only of him, and not of any Elohim Acherim. And the question is so blatantly, it's so blatantly difficult. He asks his needs from us. He needs a Korban Pesach so he shouldn't be hungry on Erev Pesach. He needs a Korban Tumid every day for breakfast and for dinner. What is going on over here? Who called Sroch of the Tov Elu Mimeni? And I believe that the understanding of the relationship of Deidi Li Vani Loi, he is to me and I to him, the love that exists between us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu so loves Klal Yisrael, that, and he so wants us to be happy and to be comfortable. And he gives us so much chesed. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He did all of these miracles for us, the upheaval of the laws of nature, chukei shamayim v'oretz, dom tzvardei akinim, through makas b'chayrus, through a kriyas yamsuf, where the enemies were drowning at the moment that the victims were walking through on dry land in the same sea. Things that boggle the mind for any rational explanation. And all of this he does, and there's a certain pain. We're very beholden. He's done so much for us. I wish I could pay him back. I feel a little bit overwhelmed. I feel too indebted to him. The shibud is overwhelming, and sometimes some of us, some of our children, some of us feel that it's too much. I can't take it. I can't stand the heat. I gotta run out of the kitchen. I can't handle the pain of beholdenness. It's too, I don't want to be beholden. I can't pay him back. Yes, you can. He allows us to look at the mitzvahs. He says, I didn't ask Korban Pesach only from you. I have a special relationship with you. When I want Korban Pesach, I only ask it from Klal Yisrael. I allow you to feel that you're paying me back. If our children will appreciate the fact that mitzvahs can give us a sense, although it's certainly not a payback. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. He's not hungry Erev Pesach, and there's nothing we could give to him even if he was needy. But he allows us to feel that we're giving him something. We're paying back. We're servicing his needs as he services our needs. That's something that reduces the pain of the shibud. I think that something else that's very significant in the whole picture of things in the Pesach Matzah Umoror is the secret of the concept of Sipur. How did Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, how did the Haggadah, how did the Seder survive through 3,320 years? Well, the formula was very clear. Not only was it a formula of telling a story, but and not only was it a formula of action, it was a combination. There was a story to be told, and there were actions to be taken, eating Korban Pesach, Matzah, Moror. And then Rabban Gamliel says, Kol shloyomar shloyisha dvaram eilu ba-pesach lo yotzei dechavosei. Pesach, Matzah, Moror, who doesn't explain the reason for the Korban Pesach, the reason for the Matzah, the reason for the Moror, how the Korban Pesach represents that geula that took place. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between our houses and those of the Mitzrim and made sure to pass over ours. And not only do we tell this story, but we eat a korban which has been called for generations, Pesach, representing this through our actions, reliving in a sense the historic events. And we not only relive it, we not only tell it, but we make sure to tell how the act that we do helps us to relive it and explain that Pesach is for this. Matzah is to help to relive the speed of the Geula, and not just the act of, well, we're eating matzah, which is representative of the speed with which they had to bake their matzahs, to get their bread to get out of Mitzrayim. Not only do we tell the story about it, but we explain how the matzah helps us to relive these events, and the same thing with the bitterness of the Moror. So it's very important to understand the survival of the Seder as a living testimony for future generations and its effectiveness throughout the 3,320 years of the millennia have to do with the fact that it was the most unique combination of a detailed story told over by eyewitnesses with a lifestyle and activities which help to relive the events of the past, not just the story, but the actual actions which complement the story, and the explanation of how the actions represent the details of the story, which makes it into a combination so powerful with the ability to make the events of Mitzrayim come alive to the extent that at this point in the Seder we recite Chayev Odom Liras Esatzmo Kilu Hu Yotzim Mitzrayim. A person is obligated to see as if he went out of Mitzrayim. He can taka feel it. The story is alive and vivid. The details are as if they happened personally. the actions that we're doing are corroborating and commemorating the historic events, and the explanations of how those actions represent those events is something that gives me the sense, the vivid sense of reality as if it happened. And there is an exalted feeling which people can feel at a Seder, which literally tells them and makes them feel, it's real, this has happened, we're reliving. It's as if it happened to me. It's as if it happened to me recently. It's real. It's something that I'm experiencing right now, ki'ilu. And I think that's the reason that we say, because of that, therefore we say Hallel, because we express an appreciation not just for historic events that happened so long ago in the past, but we feel as if we were actually participants, active participants in these events at the present moment. These are some ideas which hopefully will be expanded upon in an available and elongated form, which will be available on the website. Once again, one can order these cards for the shuls or schools. You can call 1-800-33-FOREVER or through the website, and these can be downloaded on the website. And if you connect with the media center on the website, you can get the previous session on this discussion. I go there for parents.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.